Before we pray, I'd like to read two lines of a hymn that we sang last night. I enjoyed it so much, I must read two lines. It's number 77 in the appendix. Two lines out of the fourth stanza. He brings a poor, vile sinner into his house of wine. Isn't that wonderful? We're not up here today to find the best among here that God might save you, the very best. No, we are not. We are here to say that he will bring a poor, vile sinner into his house of wine. You know, in 1 Timothy, Paul wrote, not that Christ Jesus came into the world to find a people who had no sin. No, that's not what he wrote. He wrote that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen to that. He came to save sinners. And our brother just spoke in the meeting in Romans 3 that God has a righteous basis to justify the sinner that believeth on Jesus because of the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross. It's all based on his work, his finished work. But let's pray. Our God and Father, we are so thankful for these past few days that we've enjoyed. But we are worried that there are some here who might be lost in their sins on their way to a lost eternity. And we know that thou art a God who delights to show mercy, who's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we just pray that there might be a blessing on these verses that are read this evening, that souls would come to know thee, our God and Father, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we ask for a blessing on this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to turn to a few verses to begin. First of all, in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And John's Gospel, chapter 20. John 20 and verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Very similar outline that we find in the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, that's God's part. He loved us and he gave his only begotten Son. And then our part, believe on him and have everlasting life, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe, and you might have life through his name. You know, when I was asked to have this short gospel meeting, I prayed about it, and I had the young ones laid on my heart, the children, but also the teenagers, young adults. And many of you have been sitting here for 3 days, maybe 2 days, sitting through a lot of meetings. And maybe the only parts of this conference you enjoyed were the activity time in between, the delicious food that we've enjoyed. But I've got a question for you. I've got a question for everyone in this room. How is it with your soul tonight? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son? Have you admitted to God that you're a sinner? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? If you have not done these things, these next few minutes are of utmost importance because these are eternal issues. Eternity is at stake. What you do with the Lord Jesus while you're on this earth decides where you will spend eternity. And you know, your life down here is very short, very brief. You have but a short time. We could tell stories. We could multiply many stories about people who have passed away at a very young age, unexpectedly. But we'll just say that the Bible is true, that it says that thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So your life down here, very short, but eternity. It was well put in the gospel a couple nights ago with the analogy of the rope. But if eternity was the vast ocean, your life down here would be like a single grain of sand in that ocean, hardly anything. Eternity, where will you spend eternity? And there's a brother in the assembly where I come from who says often that there isn't a glimmer of light in the inky darkness of eternity except in this book. This is the light that we have. This is God's word given to us. And it's in this book that we read of God who not only created the universe and sustains it, but a God of tremendous love. A God who would set in motion this plan of salvation for sinners and would send his only begotten Son into this world to be the Savior of the world. And it's in this book that we read of his Son, the Lord Jesus, who, eternally God, took humanity into his person, fully man, fully God. And it's in this book that we read how he went about doing good. Read the Gospels. He went about doing good, healing, bringing sight to the blind, healing those who couldn't walk. But we also read about how he was rejected. And he had those hands. They pierced his hands and his feet. They nailed him to a wooden cross because they would not have him. And it's in this book that we have where we read about the Lord Jesus being lifted up. Those who were on the earth, they looked up at him as he was lifted up and they mocked him and they jeered at him. They had put a crown of thorns on him. But we also read in this book about those 3 hours of darkness, where they could no longer watch him because of that darkness. And Jesus Christ paid the punishment for our sins. That most solemn hour, that psalm that we were just looking at, the 22nd Psalm, would show some of the thoughts that he had on the cross. We cannot enter into the sufferings that he went through for us in those 3 hours of darkness. And it's also in this book that we read that after that sacrifice, Christ hath put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, that God was so satisfied with that work that he rose him from the dead. And now he's on high in the glory, wanting to save every soul that's here today. Well, we have this book open before us. I wanted to get to a couple more verses. So back up in John and chapter 14. John's Gospel 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you are lost. Lost in a vast wilderness, a wayward sheep, needing to hear the good shepherd's voice. Lost in your sins. But you know, we read in at least two of the Gospels that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I am the truth. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, you are believing a lie. There are many lies in this world. The Lord said, it's in John 8, he called the devil a liar, the father of lies. If you are here today and you don't believe that you are a sinner, that is a lie of the devil. If you're here today and you don't believe that God really loves you, or even that there is a God, those two are lies of the devil. There are many lies in this world. Jesus is the truth. Every word he ever spoke was from God and was the truth. He said, I am the life. Because if you're here today and you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you are dead. Say, how could I be dead? I'm breathing and I'm healthy. Read a couple verses in Ephesians 2, well-known verses. And you, he's writing to those who are believers, but talking about before they believed. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved. Also read part of verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ. End of the verse. Having no hope and without God in the world. Say, that's quite a description. That's not like me. That can't describe me. Have you seen that nice Christian family that I come from? Have you seen my godly parents? I can't be dead in trespasses and sins. It's the truth of God. If you have not the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead in trespasses and sins. And Jesus says, I am the life. There's life in a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee, the hymn says. I was hoping to get to a couple verses in John 5. Not much time. John 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word. Have you heard the words of the Lord Jesus? He's calling for each and every one today. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Hear the words of the Lord. Not my words. I'm a nobody. The words of the Lord Jesus. What does he say to the children? Suffer the children to come unto me. What does he say to those who might put themselves under law and give themselves rules for life whereby they might please God by doing that? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, he wants to give rest to your soul. There's peace only through the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say to those who are thirsting after happiness and they've gone to the world for happiness and found that there's no lasting joy there, found that it's true that the Bible says that the pleasures of sin are only for a season and that the world is like a cistern that can hold no water? He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, there's lasting joy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lasting joy. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, he said. Anyone who comes, a poor, vile sinner, like we read at the beginning, poor, vile sinner, he wants to save you tonight. I'm about out of time. I was hoping to talk about for a few minutes, verse 27, and it says, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. I'll just say that, yes, there is a coming judgment. God knows the end from the beginning. It says in Isaiah, and he knows that there is a coming judgment because he is holy and must deal with this sinful world. And it's also true, I think we had earlier in this conference, that verse that says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is an eternal judgment, and there's one way of escape. God always provides a way of escape, and this is his way, his one way. I am the way, Jesus said. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Being justified by his blood, which brings in his death, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There is a judgment coming, but he is the way. Take him tonight, look on him and live, and be eternally happy. Come unto me, he says. These are his words. I was hoping to sing. Can we just sing one verse from a hymn? We passed out the Echoes of Grace hymn sheet, so we might as well sing from it. Number 15. Could we please sing number 2 and 4 from number 15? Compels you to come in that his house might be full. Yet there is room. Maybe tonight will be the last one to come in. Let's close. Our God and Father, we are so thankful again for thy word. You have revealed yourself to us in it and sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. We give thanks for this. Give thanks for that free gift of salvation. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray if anyone here tonight has not yet taken that free gift, that he would do so tonight and be eternally saved. So we just pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.